Siren Radio.
Well, what does one say after that? Other than, what's the weather like in San Diego, Richard?
Cloudy.
Cloudy?
It's not particularly, it's probably warmer when I left the UK.
Well, never.
it will all burn up. Californian
of course, of course. It's that wonderful line from that. In your own words, I really enjoyed Nick's occult spy novel, The War of the Dark. It's our very own Nick Setchfield, a man who, unlike yourself, Dave Golder, and of course Dave Bradley, has never actually done a little link with us. I've spoken to him a couple of times on the telephone, but he's always fought shy. But we like to plug the fact that War of the Dark is out now, so that's nice. What are you looking forward to at this year's San Diego Comic Con?
I think the big thing is Doctor Who. This is the first time we'll really get to see Jodie Whittaker in the flesh with a couple of the new companions, showrunner Chris Chibnall. They're doing a panel tomorrow morning in Hall H. So that's one of the hottest tickets, really, just because it's new. We're hoping that we'll actually see a little bit of the show, to see what to expect, because they're actually keeping it incredibly secret at the moment. I mean, it's sort of beyond Stephen Moffat levels of secrecy at the moment.
Do you know, I'm pleased you said that, because I thought, am I alone when I was watching the excitement of France winning the World Cup final, and then we had the break midway through, and you had what I thought was a minute, which basically did absolutely nothing. To actually launch it with a link which says, who's there? Doctor Who. Oh, for God's sake. I mean, you know, Alan Shearer is not an Academy Award-winning actor. And I'm thinking, what are they doing with this? I just thought, you know, didn't bode well for the rest of the series. Had you already left for San Diego? Did you catch that minute's worth of bliss?
I did catch that, yeah. It was a little bit less than I was expecting. But I suspect that was more for the sort of ordinary public than the sci-fi fans who know it's coming. Mm. This is a reminder to everybody else. You know, people who are watching the World Cup final and maybe aren't sort of massive Who fans that, you know, this is happening and there's a new Doctor and everything. Because, you know, it feels like the biggest new series of Doctor Who probably since it came back in 2005. Mm. You know, it's got so much interest just because you've got, you know, they've cast Jodie Whittaker and it's going in a new direction.
Front cover of that BBC in-house Bible, The Radio Times, as it used to be. She's even made that as well. And I suspect she might be making a front cover of SFX magazine in a number of times, which is all great from that point of view. Last year, I think, when we did a link with your good self when you were over in San Diego, Richard, you kind of felt it was a little bit meh, you know, DC, Marvel and so on. Well, obviously, we mentioned Doctor Who. Do you think, again, the Star Wars, the Disney Corporation, the range of things, we'll be looking to phase four of the Marvel Universe? I'd have to say, look, it'll be fantastic because you've actually got the fantastic SFX Tara Bennett, who's chairing one of the panels, so that's going to work.
Well, exactly. That was going to be one of the highlights.
Yes.
It's a funny one on movies this year. The movie-wise, it's actually a relatively quiet one because there's no Star Wars here. Marvel are giving it one of their rare fallow years. Because, to be honest, I'm not sure how much Marvel could talk about because of the way they left Infinity War.
Of course.
They can't really go into much detail.
But could they not have actually had several piles of ash that could actually just sit in all the places of Hall H and say, that's all we've got, really?
Maybe we'll suggest that to Kevin Feige. Yeah. It might be a fairly dull panel. It's an idea. So this is a good chance, I guess, for Warner to DC movies. Aquaman is going to be here, so that's kind of stand out.
I mean, let's face it, apart from Wonder Woman, you know, Justice League still working through its whole system. They need all the help they can get, really, do our colleagues at Warner Brothers. Christian, as a fan and all range of things, any questions you'd like to put to Richard about the San Diego Comic Con?
I am quite interested about the what's coming up about Doctor Who, because I am quite looking forward to this new season, especially with, as you said, Jodie Whittaker being at the helm, the first female Doctor and everything like that. Is then sort of nothing? Is this sort of the first time when anything has really come to light? Would this be the first time when people are openly talking about it, or the showrunners, Chris Chibnall and that? Has there been absolutely nothing? Because I thought I'd just be missing it.
Yeah. This is it, Christian. You know.
No, there hasn't been very much missed. They've announced who the companions are. They've put the thing out the weekend. And we know that how many episodes there are, and we know that I think they're going to be 50 minutes of the episode, except for the first one. But we don't know very much beyond that. You know, it is very, very secretive. There haven't even been that many leaked photos from the set, so it's very, very. It's a bit of a mystery.
Because I usually thought by this time they would usually show off the
teaser trailers. I have, obviously, I can't reveal my sources, but I have seen 2 minutes of Whittaker in action as the Doctor in a train, and I'm sure, Richard, you'll have seen that as well, possibly, which I think worked well. But other than that, I think back in the days where I could pick up the telephone, speak to John Nathan Turner, get pretty much all access to all areas back in the early 80s, speak to Graham Harper. We just don't get that these days, do we?
It has changed a little bit, yes. I think it's fair to say. I mean, the whole world's interested now, you know.
Yeah.
I do like the secret. I do like the sort of secretive nature about it all, because it's nowadays you see trailers and everything, and you find out about half of the entire public. You know what's going
like
to be
Justice
on
League, basically.
Yeah, exactly. But this time it's a mystery. Like.
As Tyre Wilcox might have said, cultural reference there, but never mind, back in the 80s. On the front cover of issue 303, and no doubt you'll be able to pick this up at the San Diego Comic Con, we have that fine soul, Daenerys, who has also kind of appeared with... the actress, when she actually sort of went brunette. Forget me, which movie was that earlier this year? You know, I'm forgetting. It wasn't Jurassic.
Terminator Genesis, was it?
No, it wasn't Terminator Genesis. No. We're going to have to sort this one out, etc. But Richard?
I was just avoiding getting run over.
Oh, Lord. Well, we can't have that. I mean, you know, do they not realise in America that you're reporting live for Siren Radio? You know, probably one of Britain's biggest kept secrets, even bigger than Doctor Who in many ways. It's outrageous. However, I shall quote from your opening paragraph: all the torture Game of Thrones has put us through over the years, the thwarted reunions, the multiple character deaths, the actual torture, nothing has been crueler than making us hold on an extra year for its denouement. But thankfully, SFX has ridden to the rescue once again, has it not, Richard?
It has indeed, yes. We're celebrating the show that kind of took epic fantasy to the masses, yes. The big Game of Thrones celebration this month, sort of looking back at previous 7 seasons.
Exactly. Upcoming in the programme, Adrian Tchaikovsky, Arthur C. Clarke award-winning soul, will actually be joining us. You won't have had a chance to read this yet because it was just released yesterday, Richard, unless, of course, you have the power, which, of course, you do, so maybe you have. But The Expert Systems Brother, I thought, was outstanding, and I think that, coupled with Dogs of War, Adrian Tchaikovsky, who, of course, has been featured several times in SFX magazine, pretty outstanding stuff. Looking forward to speaking to Adrian later. We've got Europe's Biggest Maze, which this year has actually gone for a Jurassic Park theme. That's with Tom Piercy up in York from that point of view. We have, as we mentioned, got not one, but another 2 San Diego links going. We're going to Randy Reinholtz, who's Native Voices Company just outside San Diego, and our producer and writer, Arthur Weingarten. So lots of stuff there to access on the podcast and various other bits and pieces. Richard, I'm going to entrust you with a key task. I wish you to give all the very best to Tara Bennett and say she's been missing from the midweek drive for far too long. It's high time she actually came back. So let's work our way through that. Was it something we said?
Tomorrow, we'll tell her.
Yeah.
I will ask her tomorrow.
Well, there you go. That's right. And the last 2 questions remain as ever, even if you're in another country. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Richard Edwards?
I have indeed.
Marvellous. And the next one, of course, is what, Christian?
Will you be joining us again, hopefully, in the near
future? Indeed. Will you be joining us again when you can actually review the San Diego Comic Con and more when you're back in Blighty?
I do hope so. Yeah, that'd be good.
Above the water, my feet can't touch the ground, and it feels like I can see the sands on the horizon every time you are not around. I'm slowly drifting away, wave after wave, wave after wave. I'm slowly drifting, and it feels like I'm drowning. Wave after wave.
draft away. Face above the water. My feet can't touch the ground. Touch the ground and it feels like I can see the sands on the horizon. Every time you are not around, I'm slowly drifting away. Wave after wave, wave after wave, I'm slowly drifting, drifting away. And it feels like I'm drowning, pulling against the stream, pulling against the...
Summer Sound, Waves by, now is it Mr. Probes or is it Mr. Probs? Could be either. P-R-O-B-Z, P-R-O-B-Z. Very difficult. Who would actually sort of give us a rap pronunciation on that? Well, probably William Coles. William, Mr. Probs or Mr. Probes?
I think Probes sounds better, doesn't it?
It does, in a sense. I think Mr. Probes is quite good, but maybe it's Mr. Probs, as in no probs. Anyway, just to tie a little bow on our San Diego link with Richard Edwards, of course, shame has struck, because, Christian, you're absolutely right. The actress, who, of course, is in Game of Thrones and Terminator Genesys, is none other than Emilia Clarke, and I was trying to remember her recent role, which I've seen her in, which, of course, is Solo, a Star Wars story.
Oh,
yeah, exactly, that's it. See,
I still haven't seen Solo. Sorry.
Well, you've missed a treat. Yeah. And nothing to do with The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Napoleon Solo, even though it's an easy mistake to make. But then, William, you might argue that there are no such things as mistakes, as long as you can actually press this button here.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
Yes. Although, actually, he's not in Scotland at present, I believe, because you're still actually down south, coping with the excitement of the post-World Cup scenario that the country is still living through when Brexit, according to the Prime Minister at least, still means Brexit.
Well, yes. The Prime Minister, are we not a bit... What does Lincoln make of Theresa May these days? Is she not getting the thumbs down?
Whoa, where do we start? I mean, we try to steer away from politics in the words of our Inspired On Air correspondent, Vicky Michelle, and she said it only once, so we haven't really had to pay attention to that. You should never actually talk about religion or politics, and certainly not mention the B word.
Right, very good. Okay, fine, yes. Well, we're going to have to wait and see, aren't we, with Brexit? I haven't got a clue, much like everybody else.
Yeah, but it's the uncertainty that makes life interesting, surely, William. Anyway, finally, exclamation mark, to all those scores of people who've said, I'm no oil painting, I now have the ultimate riposte. Not my words, the words of William Coles on your Facebook site, William. Yes, on your Facebook site, and there we are, William Coles immortalised in the oils. How did it happen? What's it all about? And how has it risen to the stage where 115 people have actually liked it? We have Ali Raiden, fantastic. It's caught your dainty upturned nose perfectly. We've got Jackie Bagley, brilliant. Giles Moffat, very good. My only niggle is you look worried. I have never seen you look worried, ever. And Jeff Stead will be a great chalk painting on an NYC UWS footpath. Might even toss in a dime.
Yes, they were all very, very nice about it. Yes, I've got a cousin, Francis Borden, who is a professional portrait painter, and my mum shelled out a bit of money for Francis to paint me. And so I'm looking rather grim, I can tell you. But anyway, some people like it. It's an oil painting.
I get a feeling, actually, William, you're channeling your inner Paxman in this. I'm sensing definitely there's a Paxman-esque, hard-bitten, serious interviewer there that's just emerging from the whole system. Maybe that's what Frances was actually looking for. She was thinking, none of this kind of, you know, playing cricket in virtual reality sequences, none of this kind of larky David Cameron stuff. I want the serious, the heart of William Coles.
Yeah, yeah, well, she got it in space, yes. It's a bit frowny. It's a bit frowny, and that perky chap who chats to you every week, no, he's not there at all. It's the guy who's the... Yeah, I guess I was sort of... Maybe Question Time is what I was trying out for.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, we do know that David Dimbleby is beginning to step aside from Question Time, so there is a place there, and frankly, you've got my vote, Will. Christian, your thoughts on the portrait?
Where do you have it? Do you have it hung up in your
fortunately,
house?
Fortunately, no. Fortunately, I do not have it at all, Christian. My mum has it. I mean, if I had it, it's up in the attic.
Say,
I have it
hung up above the fireplace, something like that.
Well, I suppose up in the attic, whilst William goes about through all level of debauchery and a kind of Oscar Wilde-esque connection with Dorian Gray, it could happen. You know, it could happen. I probably won't, but you know, it could happen. And just when we thought, whoa, I mean, I'm very impressed with him that he took this very seriously when a few weeks ago we did actually point out that we hadn't had many of the social media updates to use as the essence on which we kind of hold and hang these little features on. We also have William Coles at Lord's Cricket Ground in moving action there with his brother. I mean, you know, this again is just, you are spoiling us, Monsieur Coles.
I've got a question for you because last year when I did it with my son Geordie, mm-hmm. we won a signed cricket bat mm-hmm. by Chris Wokes. And when I did this little video with my brother, I said, okay, we've got to smile, give it big energy. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, we have won another signed cricket bat. And so the question is, what do you, I mean, one signed cricket bat is nice. And the second one, what do? You give it away? Do you give it to some charity?
Christian, thoughts, what do you do with that second cricket bat? Well, I won't even say anything at this time.
eBay. Straight on eBay.
Straight on eBay.
Straight on eBay.
There speaks a second year student. No SEO apps. Okay, straight on
fine.
eBay is fine from that. Curiously enough, we will be actually running a little competition tomorrow, which you might be interested in, William, because it's our sleep expert, Stephanie Romashevich, who's got a special light alarm, which I presume is as opposed to a heavy alarm. I'm sorry, Stephanie. I will be using that tomorrow morning. I'll just give fair warning now, a few hours beforehand. So it's a light alarm. Yeah, is that a really heavy one, then? She'll be offering that, and all you need to do is to like her particular social network feeds, etc. So it's all interactive and interconnectivity, and it's wonderful stuff on that. Are you a twin brother? I mean, is Toby actually your twin brother, or is that a case of...
No, he's a year younger than me.
He is a year younger than yourself, yeah, yeah. It could have been a very long pregnancy, I suppose, and technically there are sort of cases. But
yeah, sure, we could have been test tube twins, and same age.
I did think that Eric von Ibler... That's
Baron Sir Eric von Ibler.
Oh, OMG, you are twins. Natasha Tidball, I don't know. Ha 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 ha. Sorry. And Hope Muir, of course, this is amazing. Still.
I don't know about that. But anyway, we got the free cricket bat. The problem with this alarm-like thing you've got is that it's just random. You can't give it energy and smiles and hope to win, you know. It's just she'll pick out one that she happens to like.
That's quite... Well, that is interesting, but then many philosophers would say that there's no such thing as random or chance in the universe. It's all destiny. It's destiny when you came to Lincoln with your shark's tooth, which is currently actually on my office in the Alfred Tennyson building being looked at by a model of a dinosaur. A little bit of personal insight. You know, one day, Christian, you'll probably see that when I give you an essay feedback. I say, look, that's what I was talking about back in the summer. There's the shark's tooth. There's the little dinosaur. Anyway, yeah, random chance, etc. Are you intending to head back to Scotland at all? Or is it, I mean, now that England have kind of ended the World Cup, presumably everybody can breathe a sigh of relief and simply actually enjoy in the fun and happiness that our French counterparts actually went through. And in case you're actually wondering what kind of happiness they did actually go through, well, we can actually hear that classic press conference now when they got so excited. Whoa! Didier Deschamps. If you want to be happy, William, not that you aren't already happy, but if you want to have a happy art portrait, have a look at the France World Cup surprise. Bon surprise.
Right, okay.
Well done. Meanwhile, they're spraying their manager and all of the dissembled journalists with all manner of exciting things, basically. Boring? Surely not. Paul Pogba, take that, Jose Mourinho. Anyway, so it goes. Did you watch any of the World Cup, William, or was it a case of, no, I'm a cricket person. Did you not know?
Yeah. I watched tons of it. It was great. It was all rather nail-biting and tense. And anyway, we got knocked out, same as we always did, but made the Scots happy. And now I can now go back up to Scotland because they are the old alliance with France, so they love the French.
I did think that would come across, certainly from that point of view. And Phil Leonis, who can't join us today, he was looking for the sexy profile. He thought it was ideal. But then again, it was the day after Bastille Day. So in many ways, you know, there's still that uniformity that comes through. And it's nice to see that VAR actually played its part as well in the final. So great stuff on that side of things. So, up next, hopefully Isleworth with Anna Lewis, all being well. Definitely San Diego, at least two journeys to San Diego. Adrian Tchaikovsky, Tom Piercy, the York Maze. William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I've loved it. Thank you so much for asking.
And pray tell, for the benefit of the completists and the biographers of William Coles, where do we actually find you today? Because we did say you're not in Scotland, somewhere in England. Is there a case of where you're finding yourself? I mean, your namesake, William Sitwell, next week may well be connecting with us in France if he can remember to switch his mobile phone on. Could be a tough call, but still.
You find me in the old capital of England, in Winchester.
Isn't that nearby one of your fine recommendations who actually wrote a song about a candle, whose name has temporarily eluded me in the same way as Amelia?
Yes, Juliet.
Exactly. Are you going to be seeing Juliet?
No, I'm not going to be seeing her. I've got other stuff on. But you want to get her back on, she?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we shall do that. You know, through the social media networks, through the telepathy of time and such like, it's high time that Juliet came back on to celebrate that candle scenario, which is wonderful stuff. And just for the benefit of portrait painters who want to be very serious, Cedric Gervais, Lana Del Rey, Summertime Sadness. Are you back with us next week?
Yes, certainly. Thank you.
I'm feeling electric tonight, cruising. cruising down the coast, going about 99. Got my bad baby by my heavenly side. I know if I go, I'll die happy tonight. Oh my God, I feel it in the air. Telephone wires above are sizzling like a snail. Honey, I'm on fire, I feel it everywhere. Nothing scares me anymore. Kiss me all before you go. Summertime sadness.
So the best thing to do to cure that summertime sadness is actually say, Anna Lewis, are you there in Isleworth?
I'm not. I ventured out of my comfort zone. I'm at Shepherd's Bush.
Good heavens.
It's all happening at Shepherd's Bush.
I mean, I haven't been to Shepherd's Bush since White City, and the whole scenario was there. It's outrageous. So what takes you to Shepherd's Bush then? Is it a case of...
It's shopping porn, really. There's nothing really to look at in Isleworth in terms of looking at fashion or clothing or anything for that matter. So I thought I'd take myself off and do a bit of window shopping. And it's amazing. It's very kind of enlightening. You suddenly realise what retail spirit looks like when you get here. Very exciting.
So is there a sense that actually with the weather, with the wonderful sort of sporting environments that we've been having, with the Brexit negotiations, everybody's happy in Shepherd's Bush?
Yeah, it's much calmer. I mean, you can compare this Westfield to the Westfield in Stratford, near where my daughter lives, and it's a totally different vibe.
Right.
I mean, it's a modern word vibe, but this is much more laid back and chilled, whereas the other one is far more frenetic and very kind of buzzy. This is much more laid back and controlled.
So, if we're looking at the vernacular, would you say it was totes amazeballs?
Absolutely totes amazeballs, yeah.
Oh, there we are. If you're listening to this and wondering, what are they saying on Siren? For goodness sake, just move it through there. It's 5:30, 5:30 p.m. on Siren Radio. Christian Akubovitz, you have not been to London as yet, have you?
Oh, I have.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I have, but only once. We stayed around, I've completely...
Part of London.
Leicester Square.
Leicester
that's
Square.
That's where we're sort of around, yeah.
So out by Shepherd's Bush is strange and mysterious words indeed.
I only recognise the name just from seeing it on tube station destinations.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it, yeah. Other than that, I wouldn't have a clue.
Just as obviously we recognise Gareth Southgate's name, because that's a tube station as well these days. So
yeah.
That's very good. Did you celebrate the delights of the French win, bearing in mind your Jersey heritage, or was it the case of, well, they've obviously won something, and like all French people, they celebrate by looting shops in the Champs-Élysées.
Yeah, the French have a reputation. Now, I'm glad they won. You know, they both teams have been told to play very well, so that's fair. But yes, the French winning, they're our neighbours. What can you say? Bon chance and bon courage, France.
Bon courage, bon chance. Exactly. It's truly wonderful. And very noble of you to actually make those particular statements. So I noticed that you've been sharing major political posts as well. This particular one of the world leaders in Helsinki being especially interesting vis-a-vis Monsieur Putin and Monsieur Trump from that point of view. Have you decided that you've given up on getting an invitation to either the White House or indeed the Kremlin, and you thought, let's just go with this?
No, well, it's a demonstration that happened at Trafalgar Square that was the inspiration for looking for terrible things to post, and that seemed to encapsulate it very well, actually, that one.
Yeah. I mean, so this is the one where I do believe it is your good self actually holding up a banner which says, "Say no to Trump, world's number one racist." Sorry, I had to do a little French scenario on that sort of basis. Which has had Angie Kitcher responding, "Good for you, Anna, one of the thousands there, and go girls" from Lynn-Marie Langlois.
Yes, I know. I have a few people who actually like Trump, and that's what worries me. I've already upset an ex-Bimmy lady who I knew, so I'm feeling a bit bad about that.
Well, of course, there is the line, Anna, that you should not talk politics, religion, or indeed Brexit, which is a mixture of both, obviously, to the average public. But nice to see that fiery spirit that I knew as a colleague and undergraduate partner back in the day is still actually out there, and you're still willing to actually take your placards to Trafalgar Square.
Has quite a place in my home now. I took it home and I ventured on the bus with it, got several comments on the way home. But you know what? Frankly, I don't give a damn.
That's what they said. That's what Scarlett O'Hara said. And let's face it, if it's good enough for Gone with the Wind. And curiously enough, there's a lot of wind in... No, I won't go say it.
Yes, a lot of Trump.
Yeah. So did you make it yourself, Anna? Or was that...
No. It was a very generous little outfit near St Martin in the Field, and they were literally handing them out that you could choose the one you wanted, and that was the one that I felt most strongly about, so I thought I'd go with that one.
Marc Puyol, I was there and it was huge. I don't know where he's going with that one. lots of love to the creativity of the people's posters. There were some really good ones. Giles Bois, so did you get to meet him? Surely it would have been a case of Donald would have been privileged to meet you, Anna.
That's true. I would have given him a piece of my mind, literally, maybe it's just as well it didn't happen.
And perhaps my favourite line of this from your good self, the weirdest journey home carrying the board at Earl's Court Station platform, a lady some years older than me tapped me on the shoulder, looked me in the eye and said, "I'm American." Then 10 seconds of silence. "We can't stand him." Notice the authentic American accent I've developed for that one, Christian. "We can't stand him." I don't know which part of America she was from. Perhaps she was from that. She added, her husband nodded in agreement. We hugged, kissed each other on the cheek, just like the French, and her husband asked if we could have a selfie, with the banner, of course, which was then pinged back to their friends in the USA. What a day!
Yes, it was.
Well, never let it be said, Christian, that we don't have our midweek drive. It's cutting edge of protests when it comes to those sort of things. Actually, Christian, have you ever protested? Has it been something where you thought, "I'm going to stand for this"? Or
no, I've never felt strongly about anything really to really go out and protest. I respect people going out to protest, but myself, I've never done it. I was just wondering though, with the protest down in London, was there any there was anti-Trump rhetoric, but was there any pro-Trump sort of protests there as well?
Not on the first day. The pro-Trumpers were in a little pub somewhere that was not identified. But to be quite honest, there were lots of grannies and children there, and there would never have been any trouble. It was day two.
Oh, I don't know. Those hell's grannies, you know, they could be lethal from that point of view.
They could be quite savage, but day two was the bad day. That's when I didn't go, and that's when there was trouble.
And clearly, there could be a connection. You know, no Anna Lewis, the crowd's riot. You know, it's like...
I know.
If obviously, you needed that barrier to whack them into place. No, only kidding. Please, step aside from that. Anna, I feel it's been awesome, and once again we've actually sort of provided cutting-edge political correspondence from our midweek drivettes. It's what you're obviously destined to actually move from Jersey to actually get to the heart of political commentary. Only a matter of time before the invite to Downing Street occurs.
Exactly.
And keep us appraised of that. Has it been okay for you the last few moments of telephonic chat, Anna? Has it been fine?
Yes, it has. Thank you very much. Yeah.
So I take it after you continued your retail visual therapy of actually just seeing what is there to be purchased and, of course, support capitalism even further. Yay, go for it. We will be connecting with you in the very near future, probably next week.
Lovely. Absolutely. Yep, wonderful.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start.
They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. So that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I
stay forever this young, not afraid to close my eyes. Life's a game made for everyone, and love is the prize. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up.
The Green Hornet, Bonanza, Murder, She Wrote, The Mod Squad, Honey West, Ironside. Just some of the series which have benefited from the writing and producing genius of Arthur Weingarten. And now the legendary writer is live on the Midweek Drive. Prepare to be amazed.
Of course, if you'd submitted a proposal which had a character like, shall we say, Donald Trump in the White House, I'm sure, Arthur, people would have actually said, no, it's ridiculous, Arthur, you can't possibly sort of stretch credibility that way. You know, we need to keep it grounded in some way, shape or form.
Oh, I wouldn't say that at all.
Right.
No, I mean, he would have been a blessing and not in disguise, and, you know, because, I mean, take a look really at reality, and you see... My Mother, the Car, My Favorite Martian, who's the talking horse?
Ed, Mr. Ed.
Right, right. But none of them can, and I mean this in all sense, he's a brilliant creation of some very sick deity. You know, how can you construct a creature like this?
Yeah, but at the same time, at least he's got a football now, which Vladimir Putin presented him with, to actually add that now the ball is in his court. So it's great.
Yeah, it was right. It was wonderful when he was handed it. It was like it was filled with germs, and he had to get rid of it very quickly.
Well, it's for his son, Baron, obviously, passed on to Melania, and so it goes.
right.
We will be hearing from our royal correspondent, Richard Fitzwilliams, because he was commenting on for CNN about the meeting of the Trumps and Her Majesty the Queen. I don't know if you saw the images of that, but that seemed a bit bizarre. I must admit, Her Majesty the Queen, obviously somewhat smaller stature, and then as a sort of sandwich, the kind of regal sandwich between the Trumps, Donald and Melania. It's quite surreal.
Yes,
really.
But what I'm amazed is that the world press, unless there was some Radio 4 person that I didn't know about broadcasting it, do you realize how long that woman stood in a driveway, a bare driveway, her husband probably looking up his latest date in the black book and elsewhere, and kept her waiting?
Yes. Well, of course, it was the Queen having an audience with Donald Trump, clearly, from that point of view. It was a working visit, so...
I was hoping against hope that in her dotage she'd have enough courage and nounce to turn around and walk away.
Yeah, but you see, at the end of the day, Arthur, in years to come, we might look back at the Trump presidency saying, Lord, those were the days. Maybe not. I'm trying to put a positive spin on this side of things. It is quite unusual. We were speaking to Anne Lewis a few moments ago. She was protesting at the visit with the banner, Donald Trump, World's Number One Racist, which was one of the polite banners that was actually there. It is extraordinary in terms of the times we're actually living to and so on. I think, though, I've got to say this, Arthur. Personally, if you push me, and this is the dangerous territory, I'd probably take Mr. Trump as opposed to Mr. Boris Johnson. I just raised that from a little sort of ethical point of view.
Well, I just want to ask you a question, because I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the co-joining is a very interesting concept. But let me ask you a question. Are you certain that these are two different people? Have you ever seen them together?
Excellent point. You see, I mean, Nigel Farage has obviously been severed. Sadly, Nigel didn't get to meet the Trump stuff. But you know, otherwise, I'm sure a whole new way forward would have actually been developed.
And talk while we're talking, let me just do this about Boris Johnson. You know, he of the haircut and Trump. The old Chinese saying, keep your enemies close. Only Theresa May would take that to heart.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe, again, I'm maybe commenting out of turn here, but didn't Mr. May, i.e. Theresa's husband, look a little bit like a wannabe Dennis Thatcher? I just want to put that.
Exactly. I thought, standing there. I think those were his glasses.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Initially I thought, Dennis mustn't be dead at all. They must have resuscitated him. He must have come back like a zombie.
Where do these women find these men? Well, that's the thing.
Probably the safe place in the case of Theresa May. She got her dress sense. I'm sorry, Prime Minister. Obviously, you're more than welcome to join us on the Midweek Drive, as indeed is Donald Trump and Boris Johnson. It's just I probably won't be here at the time. But there we are. It's great stuff, though. Christian, any thoughts or questions you'd like to put to Arthur? Who, just since that's because we started off the program today actually from the San Diego Comic Con, or literally just across the way from that, with Richard Edwards from SFX magazine, who of course has featured Annette Andre in previous past editions. How close to you are you based from the centre of San Diego, Arthur? I mean, are you close by this grand
28 miles?
Oh, right. So you won't be getting
28 miles north of it.
Oh. Very good, he said. Very good. I'll just actually add that to the official map. Put a little red pin in there from that sort of point of view. It's very, with the line, good folk live here, which is mine. Christian, thoughts or questions?
I mean, we've been talking about Trump and everything like that, but
you can't not talk about it. Let's face it; it's all that hot air. It's astonishing. We should really repeat everything twice, like Donald does.
Yeah, I don't know how much more I can speak about Trump. But just listening to the introduction as well, and listening to all the things that you've been involved in and stuff like that. I mean, I know this. You must get this question a lot, but what was the best thing that you were involved in writing or producing or anything like that? Like, what was your favorite?
Well, it's so hard picking, and every time I'm asked that question, I think I owe some of the
sometimes
audience
it's a different
answer. But the truth of the matter is, I enjoyed the Addams Family, I think, more than anything. Not because I thought it was a wonderful concept of taking those brilliant cartoons and putting them into life. But the people I worked with, in today's world, it doesn't exist. The fellow who produced the show wrote and produced all of the Marx Brothers movies. Before that, he and his family had been in vaudeville. So in sitting with him for just the very first time when I was about to be hired and he was vetting me, it was meant to be a half hour, and we ended up having drinks at 4 o'clock because I wouldn't let him off the hook. He had such a life that I could plumb, and he was so generous being a mentor. And then we had Jackie Coogan, who had the similar background, and there were legions of people associated because of the people who were running the show, who owned the show, that it was a living history of not just show business, but the sociology of a time, from the turn of the 20th century on. And I reveled in it. I reveled. There wasn't a day that I didn't learn something or say, yes, I see where that comes from. Now, if you want to try and put that into today's world, I don't know how you'd do it. You'd have to be a pretzel.
Interesting. Annette Andre, of course, sent over a wonderful slide from the New York Times, and I'm afraid we're back with Trump again, with scrubbing toilets and no hugging, a migrant child's days in detention.
Yes.
Do not misbehave, do not sit on the floor, do not share your food, do not use nicknames, also it's best not to cry, doing so might hurt your case. Lights out by 9 p.m. and lights out at dawn, after which make your bed according to the step-by-step instructions pasted on the wall, wash and mop the bathroom, scrubbing the sinks and toilets, then it's time to form a line for the walk to breakfast. This doesn't help. I mean, you know, I know Donald's got German backgrounds, and I know he's...
I was just about to say something like that. I'm listening to that.
Exactly. But really.
One drop is all you need.
Yes, exactly. You know? I mean, even in Scotland, if you pull the Scotland and the German background, you think, come on, enough of this already. But still.
Poor Scotland. I mean, he hauls out his mother, whom, you know, obviously is little in his life, but he hauls out that, you know, she was the right kind of immigrant from Scotland. Mm. Meanwhile, people seem to forget that his father was a card-carrying member of the American Bund Party, the Nazi Party, in New York City, and was photographed numerous times at rallies in which the brown shirts were marching down in Yorktown on 3rd Avenue and 90th Street.
Presumably so another reason why he's so concerned about Angela Merkel and her German nation, really.
Yes, exactly. And when you have a father like that, a Himmler, and, you know, naturally you're going to think that I have to deal with strong people because his father just mashed him, obviously, every day. But even that, you know, the excuses are nothing more than excuses. There's no explaining. Joan Dixon said it all. I no longer ask what makes Iago evil. Joan Didion, rather. And it's true. You could spend endless time trying to plumb a creature like this. It's like, you know, saying that you want to have a conversation with the Hulk. It's ridiculous. It's a waste of time. The thing is, how do you exterminate it? I am going to clean up my thought here for the radio.
Always sensitive to the audience.
He is like a flatulent in a car traveling on a 100-mile road with no exits. And
yeah. See, that's the kind of creativity that television writing just lacks these days.
But it is true. How there's no rationale. You lower yourself trying to find a reason for this. You know, the thing is to work everyone to work. How do you get rid of something like this? You know, How do you?
Well, I think it's best for sanity's sake not to use the line "Who will rid me of this damned priest?" because that didn't work out well as far as the British Isles are concerned. So just I'm sure a positive attitude is very important.
As, I would like to see him take the line from Henry Ford to heart. We all owe God a debt. He who dies this year is quit for next.
I like that. Very good. Yeah. Just shows the message that's coming through. Arthur, from 28 miles north of San Diego. From that point of view, good folk live here.
Yes, but I live a life of Comic-Con every day.
Well, that's true, of course, exactly. It's that whole sort of system where you think it's become the convention centre has just established itself as a go-to place.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing. Well, we'll be featuring up next the Native Voices co-founder, Randy Reinholtz, who will be connecting with us. Arthur, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I certainly have, as always, Alex.
I feel
always.
It's been cleansing as well. We've kind of shared our pain.
It has.
We've had our sort of therapy there. We've gone through that perspective. If you're listening on behalf of the CIA, feel free to use clips of that. You know, we're happy to sort of work through the negotiations. It should be fine. And repeat them twice or three times, because that's very good. I don't think I've ever recalled a president in the periods that we've had recordings of presidents of the United States ever feel they have to say the same thing twice. Say the same thing twice. Twice say the same thing. It's amazing.
It's well, but you've got to understand something. His dendrites are like a 78 recording that's been played too many times. He's stuck in a groove. He can't get the nerve endings to move.
Yeah. Well, never mind. I'm sure we'll be still speaking happily in a week's time with him there, and next month with yourself, Arthur. Are you happy to return in August?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be right back.
Randy Reinholtz, the best director of community engagement and innovative programs from San Diego State University you could ever wish to connect with, and bringing Native American voices to the world via the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
And that's what Blackfoot Sioux would actually do. They'd fade out, they'd fade back in again. You didn't know where they were. And actually, they weren't Native Americans, as we said. 1972, Randy Reinholtz, when Blackfoot Sioux had one of their first hits in what used to be called the Hit Parade. Welcome back, Randy Reinholtz. Well,
hi, Alex.
Good to connect with you as ever, and it's been far too long, but we say that as a matter of course, so there we are. It's great to have you back, as you said, we've been lost without you. Now, just for the benefit of precision, we started off this programme live from just outside the San Diego Comic-Con Centre with the editor of SFX magazine, Richard Edwards. We then, just before we connected with your good self, went 28 miles north of San Diego to feature our producer-writer, Arthur Weingarten. How close are you, Randy, at the San Diego State University and so on, to the whole madness that is Comic-Con 2018?
We're about 6 or 7 miles on a mesa up the hill.
Right. So we're kind of circling the fort here, which is important. Yeah. We're kind of gathering our way through on that basis. Because the next question, before we find out about the exciting things that Native Voices have been getting up to, which I felt duty-bound to put to good self, wearing, of course, the Native Voices hat and so on, is a series called Westworld. I don't know if you've actually encountered Westworld at all or seen any of the series.
Yeah, Zahn McLaren is one of the actors from Native Voices, so we all watch it.
This is exactly what I wanted to say, because in SFX magazine, which is where we started, we have Zahn McLaren, a Lakota and Standing Rock Sioux, performed the episode entirely in the Lakota language, despite not being fluent in it. That has to be hats off to Zahn.
Yeah, he's amazing. We're so proud of him. And, you know, he's got several shows that he's working on simultaneously. Mm. So he's always been a great guy, and he roots for other people to win, as well as pushes hard for his own career. He's just one of the good people in the business.
Well, he sounds as though we should really invite him on to the Midweek Drive. I mean, clearly on that sort of basis, it's essential.
I will send him an email.
That would be superb. As I say, the episode we're referring to was episode 8 of second season. Kixua revealed what's been going on with the Ghost Nation as the show Westworld progressed. Heavy, hard-hitting stuff with a towering central performance from Zahn McLaren. And obviously he learned it all from yourself, Randy, yourself and Gene. That's the classic line from that, so it's good to work on that basis. About 15, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have seen that situation occurring, and I think it's to the credit of the industry, etc., and probably indirectly the rest of the work of Native Voices, that we are getting that whole notion of Native Americans who, let's face it, have been around in America a lot longer than the Trumps have. Sorry, I couldn't resist it. that is a sort of critical part of the whole thing, really, so good stuff there.
Absolutely. There's a tide turning. We had plays produced all over the country by Native American playwrights. Some of those playwrights now are starting to be picked up by television series. They're consulting on the different television series. There's actually a new one coming out from Fox that's written by a Native person, a sitcom. I don't know if it'll make it to the air. So there's a tide turned, and it's been really exciting. Next year's our 25th anniversary at Native Voices. 20 years Native Voices at the Autry, and we just feel so good that, you know, so many people work so hard for so long and they turn out to be not heard, and we've all worked together and we've been rooting for each other, and the tide's turned, and, you know, it's our time now to step through the door with really great performances and great artwork, and Zahn just made us all proud.
Well, certainly, since we've known each other over the last half a decade, more than that, 5 or 6 years, etc., you'll be pleased to know we still actually have a part marked in the road between Lincoln and other parts of the county where I say, Randy Reinholtz made an astonishing turn here. Very good. It was in a car, and it was more concerning for those of us who were in the back of the car than actually Randy, who just sort of thought, what the heck, you know, it's just... You know, we've seen it grow and develop, and I think, you know, it's fantastic that the company is there. Of course, the demand is growing. When are you going to come back to the United Kingdom?
I don't know. I hope this Shakespeare that I adapted, Measure for Measure, which played at Oregon Shakespeare Festival,
had a sold out run. Over 25,000 people saw the show. It just, everything about it worked. So I think Indians co-opting Shakespeare to make points about Indians, that's got to be fun for folks in England.
Well, we have a newbie midweek driver, not so new in any ways, but new to your good self, Randy, because you haven't had a chance to speak to our wonderful Christian Arkabovitz, who's going into his level 2 of a journalism degree here. Christian, you've been doing your research. Any questions you'd like to put to Randy about life, the universe, and how many Polish Native American Indians are there? Sorry, just a moment.
Hello, Andy.
I was
doing a bit of research and just sort of reading up about Native Voices and the company. And how did it come about? How did you come about sort of helping to start this company?
Well, I'm Choctaw myself. I'm also Irish and German descent, so mixed up kind of American that I am. And as I started working at university back in 1992, 93, 94, the folks at the university kept saying, well, do something from your culture. And I didn't know of any plays written by Choctaw, and as I started doing my own research, there were just so few plays by Native Americans available in Canada or the United States. And so we just invited some people who were writing plays to the university and tried to figure out how their plays might play with our students. And in 1994, we had our first gathering called Native Voices. So there you go. We found one to direct, and Marie Clement's play, Now Look What You Made Me Do. It was a play about domestic violence, and it was gritty. And the local newspaper reviewed it and said it was too dirty, and it was just a disgusting subject to put on stage for the students. And the reviewer forgot to look at the front page because a young woman was murdered by her boyfriend at the hotel, the fancy hotel in town. And, you know, these issues that these artists boldly talk about and present are happening, and for too long people want to bury the hard stuff. And I guess they're distracted by the crazy politicians tweeting ridiculous things, trying to line their own pockets.
Yeah, and it does need to consider. I always feel with things like that. It's, for instance, like we talked about the play about domestic violence and stuff, it does need to be shown because it happens. And it is bad, but it happens, and people need to see that, I think.
And I think we've at least identified from a genetic point of view that that's where Donald Trump has gone completely wrong. He's got the German, he's got the Celt, he hasn't got the Choctaw Native American Indian in him.
Yep.
Or Native American, that's the thought. Sorry, I was thinking of some sort of genetic sort of area in which we can maybe sort of sort out the presidency scenario there. Let's move on, Randy, because let's face it, if we go down that path, madness will ensue.
Exactly.
And let's talk a little bit about something you shared on your Facebook page a few days ago, actually, July the 12th. It's time to acknowledge the genocide of California's Indians. This is a really,
yes.
The word is absolutely spot on, catastrophe, and also the legal definition of genocide. Would you like to just share with us and our listener, why this is important? Because, I mean, again, to your average citizen, you know, there is this notion of, well, America's been going for like 200 years or thereabouts, etc., from that point of view, a little bit over that. But, you know, you had a whole civilization, a range of civilizations that were effectively just exterminated almost.
Sure, and with the discovery of gold, you know, the 1849 gold rush in San Francisco area, right after that, the state was founded and folks came out here. There was actually a bounty on Native Americans, so all you had to do was bring the scalp in and you were paid. And it was, you know, higher for a man and little less for a woman, and children received some payment. So that's what's gone on. That's the history that folks face in this part of the world. And it's time to say that happened. I used to say reparations seem far-fetched, but we just gave trillions to a bunch of rich people who don't need it. So I'm wondering if we've proven economically that reparations are possible. Hmm. It's an interesting time, the kind of craziness over here.
Interesting times indeed, Randy, which is why the midweek driver is needed more than ever, I feel, to sort of just put that sort of things to rights, really. Professor at San Diego State University, producing artistic director at Native Voices at the Autry, former director of School of Theatre, Television and Film at San Diego State University, former professor at Illinois State University, theatre studies at Cornell University. I'm just working through your CV here, obviously. Other moments from that point of view which you think, Do you know, that was my favourite line. That was the whole sort of system that I actually say that was the key thing. When you were a producer at the Smithsonian, was that a moment where you thought, that's it? Or was it a case of, no, every day needs to be cherished and worked out as a gift it is?
It's funny. I suspect I'm going to get older and have those favourite moments. But at this time, and I am old, believe me.
No. Randy, please. The word or the concept is experientially enhanced. Okay?
That's there we experientially go. I'm in it.
Good.
But I just love what I'm doing now. So there's so many projects in front of us at Native Voices, and I've actually carved out 3 weeks this week to write a play, and I'm finishing it this week, and it starts going off for the competitions, and I'm so happy in that work. And it's been such a luxury to have quiet. I've actually been home. I did my taxes last year. I was traveling for business and out of the house over 200 days last year. So to have 4 weeks at home to write a play has just been so special. And the play is wonderful. I'm so happy with where it is.
It's going to be awesome. And looking at that wonderful social networking site that was set up by Mark Zuckerberg, I'm delighted to actually see that on the 12th of June, 2013, there was the team. There's Randy there, just behind Rosie Langhorne, just there next to that, just David Froh, Katie Grimerson, and of course Randy's number one solo co-producer as well, partner, the fabulous Jean Bruce Scott. So there we are. That's the message was actually there. Still there. I cannot believe it's over 5 years ago since we connected with that sort of thing. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's too long. We've got to get on a plane. We've got to come see you folks again.
Exactly. I mean, we might well have a Native Voices site on the web, see it, but, you know, we need to sort that through. Although, then again, maybe we need to acknowledge that ultimately time is just an illusion. And as our science fiction writer Adrian Tchaikovsky will probably say when we connect with him in a few moments' time, maybe that is all the sort of thing, that actually time is just an illusion and everything is happening simultaneously. So as we're saying those words to you now, Randy Reinholtz, you're standing behind me back in 2013. Or maybe not. It's just a thought. Christian, would you like to put those two final questions to Professor Randy Reinholtz after another awesome connection?
Have you had a reasonably... Oh, I'm still learning the words here.
It's always nice when you have...
It's really tongue-twisting as well. I can't get it right.
Has it been okay for you, Randy?
It's been wonderful. And good to meet you, Christian.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. And will he be joining us again, hopefully, in the near future?
Oh, I'd like that.
Yeah, I think August we need to. I mean, you know, Arthur Weingarten and Annette Andre, they're doing monthly slots. Phil Linus does a weekly slot. You know, it's time, you know, Randy. We need to increase the frequency. That's the key thing. And as we mentioned, give our very best to Zahn McLaren. And hopefully, who knows, we might do a little piece with him because it's a very good series, Westworld. And I don't know if you caught it at all.
Oh, yeah, I've been watching. I'm going through the second season at the moment, yeah.
No spoilers, but it's very interesting philosophical aspects.
I think I'm about midway through it now, and I've been loving it at the moment. Yeah.
There we are. So all good stuff. Have you been catching it yourself, Randy, or is it a case of no? I've been writing. You've not been paying attention to what I've just been saying.
I do watch it. I watch all the ones Zahn's featured in.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. Randy Reinholtz. Oh, quickly, how can people get hold of Native Voices? What's the best website to go to actually find out further details of what you guys are doing?
Type in Native Voices at the Autry in a Google search. It'll pop it up for our, usually the first thing up is our website at the Autry.
And that's all you need for genuine happiness to manifest. And so it goes. Ramin Djawadi's main title theme to Westworld. We welcome to the studio Lauren Wood. How are you, Lauren?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, always a delight. And almost as wonderful as the awesomeness that we can actually say now, because after a gap of, well, actually far too long, over a year, not quite as you know, as long as some of our contributors, but having just recently published another fabulous text, another fabulous novel, or novella, we're delighted to actually say, Adrian Tchaikovsky, welcome to the programme. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Well, the expert systems brother. Let's not beat around the bush. This is, once again, an awesome piece of novella fiction. In fact, I arrived yesterday. Would you like me to, on air, read the review that I posted on Amazon as only the second reviewer of this, Adrian? I mean, are you ready for that, or would you just say, I don't know, I haven't even seen this as yet, so...
Go for it.
Well, I gave it 5 stars. Lauren can actually confirm that. There's 5 stars there from that point of view. And I added, the Tchaikovsky universe continues to expand with a superb novella which develops a number of key ideas regarding the relationship of humanity to the stars, nature, religion, and artificial intelligence. Exceptionally well written, pacey, and packed with philosophical... ponderings on the nature of the human adventure. A crossover with Dogs of War would be an ideal sequel. See what I did there? Just bringing those two things in, because I finally got around to reading Dogs of War. Amazing. I've been singing the praises of Dogs of War for not... I mean, My Name is Rex. I mean, tears at the end. It's astounding from that point of view. And then when you actually move along to the excitement of the expert systems brother, initially I thought it's all fantasy. But no, it's more than fantasy. Adrian, you wrote it. Share with us, the expert systems brother, what's it all about?
It's kind of hard to go into much detail without getting seriously spoilery, because as you say, it's the discovery of what's going on that's kind of the main point of the book. But it starts with a young man called Handry who's grown up in a village, and he has a peculiar accident, which means that he is cast out from the village. And that's kind of the first clue we get, that things aren't going, things in this world do not work the way we understand, because the accident is bizarre, and the way everyone then changes the way they react to him because of the accident is equally bizarre. And then he's cast out of what is obviously quite a hostile and alien world, and it's a world that seems to be rejecting him because there's almost nothing that he can eat now he's had the accident. There's everything kind of irritates his skin. It's as if he's now allergic to the world that he grew up in.
I mean, that was something which, again, threw me initially. I thought, oh, harsh and sort of through that. Obviously, spoiler-free zone. But I thought, again, the combination, as I said, mixture of sort of religion, all manner of other bits and pieces. Adrian, would you like to give me a random number, and let's see if I can actually do a sort of random selection from, indeed, the expert systems brother. Obviously, the expert systems person is a fine soul, etc. And let's see if we can actually sort of work through this. So a number between, let's say, 1 and 160, please.
How about something around the 43 mark?
Oh, very good. As my Kindle device sort of struggles with respect to that whole thing, I'll sort of talk you through the whole thing. Before we actually sort of move to that, something around about the 43 mark, let's go back to Dogs of War. Because that was something else which we spoke about, actually, when you were kind enough to actually do an evening with Adrian Tchaikovsky, your good self, at Linden Books. And we were talking then about, obviously, the fantasy elements that were coming through with that. I genuinely meant that that's whole notion of a sequel between Dogs of War, bioforms, Lauren. Bioforms. Mm. And the notion of actually having... I mean, just talk us through that, Adrian, whilst I'm attempting to actually find... something around the 40 mark from the expert systems brother.
Dogs of War?
Yes.
Well, Dogs of War is near future, unlike Expert Systems Brother or Children of Time. It's set in the future where the future of warfare has gone into genetically engineered cyborg animals. So Rex and most of his peers, Rex is a dog, although his team also consists of a bear, some sort of heavily modified lizard, and a swarm of bees, as the technology gets more and more complex. And it's really about Rex as a sort of a fighting machine getting cut off from his chain of command and then having to start making his own decisions, and making especially decisions over what is right and what is wrong. So having to construct his own morality. And there's a lot there about sort of, well, what rights should accrue to the intelligences that we create? Should they have any? Can we just dispose of them when they become inconvenient? Because one of the things it's obvious that Rex is doing, although he doesn't particularly understand it at the beginning, is he is committing war crimes for his employer, and his employer is obviously intending to be able to just brush him under the carpet at the end of the war if he becomes inconvenient. And so there's a lot of the book really is about that moral dimension to that kind of warfare and that kind of technology, when you're making things or uplifting things that can kind of look you in the eye and in which you can recognise a human level of intellect.
It certainly makes you think. And I think the way you sort of grounded that sort of thing, in terms of looking at possible actors, I would have seen the nasty chap, who actually is Rex's owner, should possibly be played by Terry O'Quinn from the Lost series. I would have put that as a possibility. And in terms of...
I had it in my mind when I was writing him. I had John Malkovich.
Oh, yes. Yeah, John Malkovich. Terry.
He does that sort of... I mean, immediately, he does a lot of roles extremely well, but I've certainly seen him do that kind of role. Very nicely.
It would definitely work from that point of view. Christian, you've been listening to some of the work that Adrian's produced, and that's before we even get into a whole range of other sort of aspects. Any questions you'd like to put from your own perspective?
I sort of realised this a few months ago. A friend of mine actually did recommend Children of Time to me to read. He said, he went, I've read it, I think it's brilliant, I'm not going to tell you anything about it, just give it a read when you can. And It's weird, just all of a sudden, just remembering that because I have the book back at home. But I'm just finishing off something else before I start it.
Arthur C. Clarke award-winning book.
Yeah, I saw it. And, I was just wondering how do these ideas come to you? How do you start writing it? Like
I've got to say, that's the one part of the process I have never had any difficulties with. I have ideas queuing up down the street. Basically, it's finding the time to actually realize them and being able to order them into a kind of a format I can actually put down on the page that's frequently more problematic. With Children of Time, if you say you don't know anything about it, it's kind of hard for me to say where the idea came from, or that will give away one of the major developments. Yeah. There was basically, I came across some scientific research, which then just led to a bit of a speculative, well, what if that was sort of ran to a long-term conclusion? And I kind of constructed everything that happened to the book is really designed to give rein to that thought experiment. Very similar things go on in Expert Systems Brother and in the current books I'm writing at the moment.
Yeah, it does sound like a lot of sort of what if questions, kind of thing, like what if this were to happen, or what if this sort of science was to progress to this sort of stage. Yeah.
It's well developed. Well, I managed to get the system to work here for a moment. I thought the whole thing was going to sort of work on that whole basis, and I wouldn't be able to echo the notion of Ramez when he actually came out with a bold, vivid story about humanity and the broader universe. So we'll just have a little segue from this point of view of the Expert Systems Brother. So everyone was holding their breath, and nobody more than me. I thought it would make everything right again, actually having a proper doctor. I was sick, after all. I was half-severed. And that was something the Doctor Ghost had jurisdiction over. Once we had someone other than mumbling old Corto as doctor, I could be cured. I was in a fever pitch of excitement. 3 long years I'd lived in the unthinking disdain of my kin in Arrow. It had been hard, almost too hard to bear. But now there was an end in sight. In that, I was entirely correct, of course. I think they were my last moments of childhood. Those few days of hope. That optimism that someone else will come and mend all ills, that your ma or the lawgiver or someone will just turn up and everything will be well. It's the essence of being a kid. At last, late enough that everyone was going a bit mad with worry, the electors came out and started buzzing lazily about between the houses. They were far bigger than the normal wasps, longer than your second finger and with fat, bristling bodies. Once they hatched out, there was no mistaking they were around. The air vibrated with their labouring wings day and night. And when they stung, well, it hurt enough to make grown-ups cry. Or so they said, because of course they didn't sting me. They were busy, though. I reckon about 1 in 5 from Arrow got stung in the next few days, and each time everyone else watched anxiously to see if the recipient would show signs of the Doctor Ghost coming to stay. Children started following the electors around, shrieking and pointing at anyone who received their attentions. Those who had been stung but not chosen were left hurting and rueful, and perhaps a little relieved. Being the Doctor was a great honour and a great responsibility, but it meant your life would never quite be your own either. Everyone was a servant of the village, it was true, but those ridden by the ghosts had to share their very heads. I attempted to do a reasonable amount of justice there, Adrian. I don't know if that came across okay down the telephone line, but it was... Talk, I mean, that notion of the life forms, the wasps effectively sting somebody, and the person who gets sting who reacts to that. Initially I did think it was pure fact, but then, no spoilers, we get to a stage where basically it is artificial life forms, it's cyber technology, it's all sorts of things from that point of view.
Yes, and it is obviously the story of what is going on and how it's come to pass does come out throughout the book, and then Henry ends up in some peculiar places where he starts to piece together or learn stories about precisely how his rather peculiar but very stable and self-perpetuating society came about.
Ramez Naum. I was fascinated to see his comment on the front of the whole thing. Do you know him? Have you met him? I mean, he's a well-known futurist, but I was just interested in terms of his connection.
I met him very fairly briefly, I think, at the Worldcon they had in London a few years back. And I've been an admirer of his. I mean, I'd actually just I just read one of his books that was up for the Clark the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I mean, it is extremely nice to get a quote from someone of that stature.
What I was impressed at, and I would encourage anybody to actually look at Ramez Naum and look at that, is in a world, I mean, we spent the first part of this programme, I think it's fair to say, Christian, debating the Trump philosophy of life, the universe.
Trump-centric.
It has been Trump-centric. Yeah. The first hour of the programme has been a little bit Trump-centric. And this is really, in a sense, the yang, the yin, the balance, the kind of the positivity that's coming out of that. And Ramez, actually, with his views, etc., there's an essential positivity that's actually there, which I think, again, you echo, because, as I said in my own sort of review, what I thought with the expert systems, rather, was it does kind of start addressing the whole notion of we need to get along with each other.
Yes, I mean, in all honesty, I think that's, although I wouldn't necessarily characterise myself as an overly positive.
You're in the legal profession, right, Adrian, it's understandable.
The positive, that when I have a positive message, it basically does come down to that. It comes down to an acceptance of diversity, and it comes down to an acceptance that there is a strength in diversity you don't get in isolationism.
Mm.
And I think, looking back, I think, frankly, you can see that in pretty much everything I've written since the early days with the Shadows of the Absurds.
I would go with that, exactly. I'm going to turn over to Lauren in a few moments, but another little question I've just got to put to you from Dog Soldiers, and I just thought there's a lovely reference, obviously blatant references to Star Trek and Harry Potter, in a way, but there's one line there which I thought, I wonder if, when you actually are quoting in the latter stages of Dog Soldiers, the dolphin, and we actually have Flipper.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a direct quote from Flipper, Faster Than Lightning, sorry, breaking into song there, from the actual theme of Flipper. If you haven't seen Flipper, Lauren, you should, it's the story of a dolphin. It's like, it's everything that Skippy wanted to be if he'd been a dolphin and not a kangaroo.
Right.
Genius. Were you channeling something that actually sort of had you say, I've got to work Faster Than Lightning in there so people can actually say, yeah, that's what it's all about. That's
actually pure serendipity. I don't know if I just have a very, very good subconscious, but I seem to benefit from this an awful lot, where I can write something just because it seems to sound cool to me, and then someone will come back saying, oh, you're obviously meaning this clever reference and so forth, and all I can do is sort of nod along and hope I don't look like a fool.
Well, and here was I thinking you were a secret Flipper fan as well from that point of view. Never mind. It's clearly it's serendipity. It's the universe working on its way. Lauren, somebody who's working for Soundlinks in Lincoln, somebody who is about to graduate with a first class honours, public relations, etc. Questions for Adrian.
So, dogs of war. Why dogs and not any other animal? Dogs are quite domesticated, aren't they?
Yes, and I mean, that's the... It seemed eminently logical that if someone was going to go about this particular project, dogs is where they would start. I'd come across a certain amount of research prior to writing the book about essentially how dogs think. There have been quite a few really interesting sort of experiments and one of the theories at the moment is really that dogs have effectively evolved to suit a particular environment, and that environment is us. So that although dogs are obviously less closely related to us than monkeys or apes, they are mentally much more close to us because they have had to understand us in order to survive, effectively. So if you're starting with this sort of setup, you want a large, very dangerous animal that will nonetheless do what you say and work in a team. I think the dog is the most likely candidate for it, because it's already halfway there.
So it's quite interesting, because I was singing the praises of Dogs of War to Lauren when we were actually on open day duty last Saturday at the University of Lincoln, exactly. And what I noticed your eyebrows raised when I also said, and bees as well.
Yes.
Exactly, I think. Bees, small, tiny cybernetic routine. When you read Dogs of War and you see the demise of bees, sorry, spoiler alert there, the initial debate, well, I won't say any further. I never thought I'd be that kind of moved by seeing the way in which the artificial intelligence or the multi-platform intelligence of bees actually goes. I mean, was that something where you thought, actually, we are talking about the hive mind here, we're looking to develop that? Because you have, as I say, they've got that notion of we've gone beyond in terms of bioforms using chemical warfare, but we're using genetically modified dogs, dog soldiers, we're looking at genetically modified bears, we're looking at genetically modified bees. I mean, the movie is going to be fantastic. I know that. It will be. But from your own perspective, Adrian, why bees as opposed to possibly, as we say, we heard in Expert Systems Brother, you could have gone down the line of wasps.
Well, I mean, I guess to a certain extent, I've done a lot of wasp-related stuff in The Shadows of the Amp. They're the main antagonist there.
Yeah.
And also, because of the other things that bees can do, I think bees are more useful because bees seem to have a much more complicated cognition and a much more complicated sensorium than wasps. I mean, quite possibly wasps have it as well, and we've just studied bees more. But obviously, you know, there is the whole thing: bees can count. They have the ability to do a certain amount of arithmetic. They have a very, very wide suite of senses. Which one of the things we find about bees is essentially like a couple of the bioforms, quite over-designed, so that they do their fighting job, but they're also capable of doing many, many other things, and they start effectively exploring their own capabilities and using their own capabilities in ways that they weren't designed to do, because they've been given this sort of essentially human-level cognitive ability between the various units of bees.
And we came to this piece, obviously, after having discussed Westworld and the areas that came across from Westworld and that intelligence. Is it, again, is there a theme of somehow the cleverness of humanity will lead to our destruction, that we create these things, we don't quite know what's going to happen when the genie's been let out of the bottle? Is that something that comes across in the writing? Is that a common theme, perhaps, that you address?
I mean, that's one of the oldest themes in science fiction, all the way from R.U.R.
Well, dare I say, Mary Shelley 200 years ago.
Indeed. I tend to try and get away from the idea of us being destroyed by our creations simply because that is now very well-travelled territory. Mm. I'm more interested in what happens to our creations. I'm more concerned in the sense that we will destroy our creations before they have a chance to reach their potential, which, frankly, I think is also considerably more likely.
Mm-hmm. And, again, no spoilers, but when you get to Dogs of War, the legal scene, superb. Absolutely superb. Adrian, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with your good self today. Any final questions, Christian, from yourself? Will you be going back immediately to pursue Children of Time? No spoilers, but the spiders are awesome.
I will, but I'll definitely be getting round to it anyway as soon as I can, to be honest.
I mean, I cannot believe that actually Expert Systems Brother Kindle at £2.67, that's ridiculous. Anyway, you can get the paperback and various other bits and pieces as well. Superb stuff, just go to online sources and various other bits and pieces that are out there. Check out the excitement that is the Expert Systems Brother, plus the rest of the Adrian Tchaikovsky back catalogue. A lawyer, a gamer, an amateur entomologist, that's where the insects come from. Adrian, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, thank you very much.
So can we prevail upon you to join us again in the not-too-distant future, probably when Christian's actually read Children of Time, and we can actually say, what about that then?
yes, absolutely.
Ray, a round of applause for Adrian Tchaikovsky, please. Yes.
the daylight. You lost your trust, and so you took it out on me.
The current holder of a Miss Lincolnshire title, and indeed England supporter extraordinaire Chloe Rose, who might be back with us before too long. That was her singing Lungs. Hey ho. And as we move majestically forwards to the next little feature on a programme which started off in San Diego, just a few yards away from the San Diego Comic Convention Centre, with Richard Edwards, the editor of SFX magazine, followed by William Coles in Worcestershire, I believe he was, Christian. It was somewhere in one of the home counties, I believe.
Winchester.
Winchester. As in the rifle.
Somewhere with a W.
Anna Lewis, of course, doing window shopping in the delights of London town. Shepherd's Bush, no less. Arthur Weingarten, who, of course, was 28 miles north of San Diego, talking about, again, his views on Donald Trump and the connection between Donald Trump and the Adams family. Randy Reinholtz, again, from Native Voices America, discussing Westworld and so on. To Adrian Tchaikovsky, our Arthur C. Clarke award-winning soul, who basically was just waiting to meet up with your good self, Lauren. Where do we go after this? Well, only to Tom Piercy, only to our Jurassic Man himself. It's Tom Piercy from the York Maze. How are you, sir?
Good evening.
We're very good indeed. Now, some people might have had a calendar. They might have seen the last time I was actually there. I'm not the one in the middle, but that's just one example of the York Maze there, where I was privileged a matter of months ago, on July 28th, 2017, to not only be greeted by yourself, Tom, because it's an annual thing, but also to connect with Colonel.
Indeed.
So, for the benefit of Lauren, who, being from Essex originally, might not have even been aware of Europe's largest maze, the York Maze.
Maybe not. My sister, maybe.
Your sister, maybe. But me, because, of course, she's in...
Leeds,
exactly. And Christian, from Wakefield, the York Maze.
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
Heard of it, you see. But
I still haven't been, though.
Heard, but not been, Tom.
I don't trust myself. I don't have a very good sense of direction, so if I went last week, I'd still be in there.
Well, there you go. So there are lots of helpers that provided, usually from different areas. I'd say different European countries, but I don't know what his position is on Brexit. Anyway, we'll get down there, because he said don't talk about that. Tom, it's launched officially, and I take it is Jurassic Park.
Well, it's funny you should say that, but the place is overrun with dinosaurs, and Jurassic Park's 25th anniversary is indeed the theme this year.
There you are, 25 years since the Michael Crichton novel, of course, led the whole world to believe that dinosaurs were there, and that you could actually shed tears for a velociraptor. Or maybe not. Lauren, questions for Tom, please. Feel free to quiz him as much as you wish. We've known him for years. He's a very friendly and, I mean, he is the ultimate arbiter when it comes to quality and, indeed, midweek drive-outs. So off you go.
How have you incorporated this theme?
Well, each year, obviously, the maize, funnily enough, is made from maize plants. It's a maize maze. So we plant over a million maize plants into a 15-acre field, and then we set about it with effectively big lawnmowers and try and chop a pattern. So this year, with it being the 25th anniversary of Jurassic Park, we've created the world's biggest ever drawing of a T-Rex having a fight with the world's biggest ever drawing of a Triceratops. So late Cretaceous action is what we've got going on this year, a giant dinosaur fight.
It looks amazing.
It is quite literally quite amazing. See what you did there, Lauren? You did get a first-class honours in public relations, I can tell you, for not actually knowing how to actually write a pun like that. Yes.
Could I say congratulations?
Oh, it's just battered from one to the other. Genius stuff. Now, over the years, we've followed through the delights of the Thunderbirds maze, the Yorkshire Legends maze. That was one of the weakest ones, I felt. The Doctor Who maze, very good from that point of view. Roald Dahl, of course, Star Wars, James Bond, Star Trek, a whole range of things about that. But in addition to that, you've got the Mirror Maze, you've got the Crowmania ride, you've got Sand and Water to play, which is always good for Christian, and you've got a whole range of other climbing zones. I mean, there is literally something for all the fun. Is it any wonder this is a regular tourist award-winning attraction? And it's officially opened, has it, Tom? Has it opened now? Because
we opened on Saturday, so we've now been open for 5 days.
Five days, or to you, 140 odd hours. Never mind.
And we only open for 52 days, so people need to get a move on and get here while we're still open.
Yeah. So, Lauren, are you up for this on the location report? You know, a journey to the York maze? We can coordinate things in the near future.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Christian, are you possibly up for it?
I'll be up for that.
Yeah, this is where we coordinate.
I promise in no way, shape or form to hide our very realistic velociraptor costumes within the maze and leap out on you from around a blind corner.
Well, I mean, I know in the winter, of course, where we actually have Hallow Scream, you have been known to actually employ lots of various attractions from the world of zombies and more from that. Are you going for this velociraptor angle as well?
Well, we've got two pet velociraptors actually, and they're amazing costumes, really lifelike. They're the ones that you've seen people doing spoofs on YouTube and things, where they hide them in a car park and chase employees around and things. And they're very, very realistic. So we're having a great time with those at the minute, just chasing kids around. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, obviously done legally and in best possible taste, because we don't want to sort of go anywhere down that line, really, because, I mean, the legal ramifications are just dreadful from that point of view.
They're not real, Alex. They're not real.
Yeah, but one person's reality is another person's fiction, you know. We've just had that with Adrian Tchaikovsky. I mean, those bees with the artificial collective intelligence coupled with dogs and a variety of other things, who knows what could be happening there?
Well, you know,
it's quite frankly a whole new different zone on that basis. Just looking at some of our own photographs from the York maze in 2016. There's actually then, Tom, you don't get any, you stay the same, which is wonderful from that point of view. It's your very own Ed Wellman. It's like the photograph.
I got a photo came through today because we had a big thing going on in the maze today for the National Farm Attractions Network. So we hosted 100 other farm attraction operators all to come have a look around, and somebody managed to dig out a photo from when I first opened the maze in 2002, would you believe? So.
Yeah. See, this is the time where normally Tom will be saying, I wonder if Alex is going to talk about the time in 2005 when we had the Star Trek screening and the screen burnt down. I'm not going to sort of talk about it. No. Why would I do that?
We actually discussed that today.
Did you? Happy days. You know, there we were.
Everyone was saying, what other events? Have you ever done a drive-in movie? I said, well, we did one once, but we're not talking about it.
Well, we just have live on Siren Radio, but it was not so much the fact that the wind was blowing to the extent that halfway through Star Trek Generations the screen actually collapsed, but it was the fact that you had to get up and go afterwards, and it was in a different location. So you know, we've moved on from that point of view. It's just, you know, will the robot be there? By the way, this year will the
Crowbot has been retired. Actually.
The Crowbot, so no more Crowbot. The Crowbot has actually gone.
Well, the Crowbot has gone, but we think he's going to reinvent himself on Crowmania, the trailer ride, next year. So he's having a year out, sabbatical, from travelling.
Well, it shows a matter of wonderful things there. Upcoming, we will be a little number we actually went to yesterday, because we could have gone to the York Maze by we, I mean Sue Royce and Eva McDonald, but in the end we went to Saltfleet by the sea and took part in a few little activities there from that point of view. A bit of paddling, various other bits and pieces. I know it's not exciting as the York Maze, but it'll happen.
The seaside is very, very tempting.
Well, yes.
But don't forget, Alex, we've got lots of water activities in the maze where we can get you wet.
Oh, please, Tom. You know, over the years, just don't know where we're going. Thanks to Richard Edwards, William Coles, Anna Lewis, Arthur Weingarten, Randy Reinholtz, and Adrian Tchaikovsky, and, of course, your good self, Tom Piercy. Lauren.
Yes.
Would you like to ask those last two questions to the awesomeness that is indeed the one and only Tom Piercy?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic experience with us today?
I always enjoy my telephonic experiences with you guys. It's been wonderful. Thank you very much.
And will you be with us soon?
Well, I'm hoping you're going to come and be with us soon.
Exactly. <Yes. laughs> You know, it's like the tug of war of happiness between Lincolnshire, Yorkshire, Yorkshire, Lincolnshire. Honestly, it's just truly awesome from that point of view. That's almost, as I say, where the piece that we actually are coming up to is pre-recorded from that point of view. Lauren, have you enjoyed your time on the production today?
I have very much.
And I know that you're keenly sort of saying, well, is he going to play my ident? Is he going to play my jingle and life and that? I mean, you know, Tom is keen to actually hear this, I'm sure, from that point of view. Christian hasn't got his jingle made as yet, so it's all right.
I still need to get in there again.
We'll just work our way through this basis. But I mean, I think we'll probably, as the computer is desperately searching all its binary digits, it's like artificial intelligence gone crazy here in the studio. It's almost that we're waiting to see the blue line reaching the stage whereby when I type in the words Lauren Wood, we can actually sort of reach the stage where, and this is the moment I know that you've been waiting for, Tom.
Lauren Wood, bringing a slice of Essex excellence to the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions on Siren Radio.
So, a slice of Essex excellence.
Yes, that's me.
We had a team of apes working non-stop for over 4.5 years to actually come up with that one, Tom. I know you could appreciate that. So
it's a very fine jingle it was, too.
Exactly.
Worth the wait. No,
don't worry, I've got a few things lined up for yourself as well, but not today, because that will be, frankly, just far, far, far too exciting from that point of view. So, Tom, don't forget, I don't want to tell you not to forget anything for. Pointless, really. How very rude, you might well say. If you're listening, don't forget to check out the York Maze. And wonderful things will actually be there. Up next, a little touch about Saltfleet, and then it's the news. Christian, we'll see you in the morning, no doubt.
Yeah, I will be, bright and early.
It's a Tuesday in July, in the year of our Lord 2018, and the Midweek Drive team, or at least Sue Rice and myself, have made our way to part of the world which I must admit is a whole new area for myself. It's the joys of Saltfleet, and would you like to share with us where we are, Sue?
We're currently out at Sandyfields Caravan Park, and I'm really looking forward to getting out onto the beach and catching up with Eva McDonald.
Well, this is the reason, because if people are saying, what on earth would possess you to actually go to Saltfleet on a fine day in July, it's simply because we're showing support here for one of our fine Midweek Drivettes, that's Eva McDonald, who is currently entertaining the assembled team. She actually says it's gets very busy when the school holidays are actually on, so we thought just before the school holidays are actually here, we thought we'd find out exactly what Eva McDonald is actually up to. We've spoken to her via telephone, via the early signal we'd actually get to work here in Saltfleet. We've seen some wonderful entertaining animal life forms already, and we're looking forward to hopefully sharing some of the excitement, the tangible excitement that we're getting across here from, as we mentioned, the aforesaid Sandyfields Caravan Park. Well, the interesting news is we've actually left the joys of Saltfleet. We found Eva McDonald. Yay, Eva! And we're currently following Sue Royce in a part of the world called Queen's Park, in a part called Mablethorpe. Is that right, Eva?
It is right. Hello.
Good to hear your dulcet tones as ever, Eva. See what I did there? Ever, Eva, ever ready. What have you been doing at Saltfleet over the summer?
Thank you. So this morning I've just been doing the children's activities, and then that's what we do every day. So we'd start with the children's activities, and then in the evening it's all the evening entertainment. So hosting the game shows, hosting the generic talk shows, things like that, and then evening
generic talk shows. Explain more. What's a generic talk show?
Like talking about the entertainment, what's going on. You just have little moments on the DJ box where you talk through what's happening in the evening. That's a talk show that we call it. And then you do your cabarets and just entertain the crowd.
Well, we are currently wandering through a bit of sand, actually, so it's genuinely sand on the coast in Mablethorpe. We're still following Sue Rice. I haven't the heart to actually ask her where she's taking us, but I'm sure she knows. Sue, we're in your neck of the woods, I gather.
Yes, this is partially my manor, so I'm taking you to the beach. In fact, now we are just riding over the crest.
I can see the sea.
Of the beach huts on the right and the crazy gulf on the left, and now here is the beach.
The beach, Eva. Exactly.
We have found the beach finally.
On the beach, Chris Rea. There are a whole range of other beach-based programmes, Beach Boys, and more, as we can actually see the sea.
we can see the beach. So is this where you used to come as a child then, Sue?
Yes, that and Skegness. But I've always, me and the lovely husband have always liked to take the smallest member of the Siren team, Miss B, here because...
So Bridget's a Mablethorpe fan as well?
Oh yes, definitely. She loves to come to Queen's Park. It's got the water park, it's got the beautiful beach huts. The beach is always very clean and tidy. People are always very pleasant and smiley, and it's just a really lovely place to come.
Eva, you were saying on the journey down here that this week is limbo week, you refer to it, in the holiday parks trade?
Yes, I refer to it as limbo week because some schools around the area have finished, some schools haven't. So we've got a lot of Leicester people on the park at the moment, and then all the rest of the English schools tend to break up on the Friday. So yes, it's limbo week, I call it, my term.
And do you get many people coming down from Scotland or across from Wales?
We do, we've had loads from Scotland. Not loads from Wales, a few from Wales. But we've just had a load of Scottish people leave. And they've been here for...
Was it a sigh of relief when they went?
No, actually, they were really nice.
Obviously following England Football Club in the World Cup.
Oh, yes, definitely. People were at the park for that. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but never mind. But, yes, we've had a lot of Scottish people come, and some people have just left us some presents as well, which is
very
nice.
Good. And other countries represented at the park?
We've had a few.
Any Germans, French... Spanish.
Some came over from India. We had some people from India.
A culture shock, I would have thought. Certainly was for me, and I'm just from Teesside.
I suppose so. I don't know. Don't know.
So we're about to stop off. Are we stopping off at the Bucket and Spade Cafe and Beach Shop? Shameless plug there.
No, we're going to take you further down to a lovely little fish and chip shop. Just
even further, Eva.
Station.
Okay, let's continue.
We're
to walk
promenading, Alex.
Yeah. Actually, we need to take some photographs here before the rain comes because it is the sunshine. So we'll use that as a brief break as you are reminded that you're listening to Southside Broadcasting and Midweek Drive on location with Eva McDonald and Sue Royce at the wonderful world of Mablethorpe, a matter of 20 minutes or so from Saltfleet. Good. Well, we've continued to continue this work. Sue is currently eulogising about this particular fish and chip shop, which you realise the pressure that these particular purveyors will be under, Sue. I mean, you've been fulsome, I think it's fair to say, Eva, in her praise. Just totally over the area.
Yes, but fish and chip shops are something that are very close to people's hearts. When you find a fish and chip shop that do things right, that service with a smile, that actually want your custom and they make very nice fish and chips, you go back.
Sounds good. You're not on commission, it has to be pointed out from that point of view. I'm guessing little bubbles being blown there. I thought it was alien species, but no, it's just a child. And how's the season been overall then, Eva? Have you been enjoying it? Because last year, of course, you were at Sue's place of birth almost, Skegness.
Yes, I've been enjoying it. I've picked this year as a year to develop.
Remember?
Yet to develop my presenting and cabaret skills, singing skills, on stage and presenting skills in general. I do, as a whole, prefer last year, just because I liked last year's park.
Yeah. As we found out from your companion, of course, Chloe Rose, who is the current Miss Lincolnshire, she has recorded her material. We play her material regularly on Siren and Southside, and the message that obviously comes across is, how close are you, Eva McDonald, to providing that recording of yourself in action for the listener?
Do you know, I really want to, and actually I could. I am getting my mum to come down tonight, and what usually happens is she comes and records stuff on Tuesday for me.
So you got your real mum and you got your mum and dad from Siren FM as well coming down. It's like family all over.
Yes, so if I do get a good video, then I can upload that onto Facebook for you all. But I've not forgotten about this
the album.
CD. So I am still doing that, Alex, and I will do it at one point.
Well, exactly. That's it. And to be fair, Chloe is a wee bit more chronologically gifted than your good self. So all's well with respect to that. So you've got a good few years yet. Sorry, Chloe. Anyway, life continues. This does remind me a little bit of Roker for people who are actually in the North East and Sunderland and the package from that before Roker was kind of redeveloped and so on. I'm having one of those moments where I'm thinking, was I ever here as a child? I think probably not. But you've got the lifeboat station, you've got a range of other factors. It reminds us, of course, we are living in an island, and on an island. And are you a seaside person in general, Eva, or do you prefer... No, I prefer to go to the Canary Islands in Spain.
Yes, I think I'm a tropical person, Canary Islands and Spain.
Cuba?
Oh, Cuba, yes, definitely. I do like the seaside a little bit. I mean, you can't beat the British seaside. There's
unlike Brighton, of course, at least the beach is actually sort of nice and sandy beaches as opposed to rocks and sands and various other bits and pieces. Nice to see the RNLI mentioned, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, who, of course, Sue, we were featuring at the Great Yorkshire Show a few days ago.
Yes, that was great to see them. They do a lot of really good work here, particularly during the summer months. This beach is absolutely crammed full.
People want to do brown down.
As it is up the coast at Cleethorpes and down at Skegness. And they really do provide a wonderful service. I certainly feel a lot better knowing that they're on the beach looking out for people who are getting themselves into trouble or aren't quite doing what they should be doing. They provide a great service.
And we haven't forgotten about possibly doing a location report up in Northumbria with our colleagues from the Royal National Lifeboat Institution. And we're now passing the classic beach houses. How would you define these things, Sue? So beach huts?
These are extremely popular beach huts. They're really having a renaissance.
Chalets,
yes. They're really having a renaissance. And actually, the beach huts at Mablethorpe are well known for being very, very popular. And they're quite lucrative to get hold of. If you can get hold of one, you are somebody.
Eva, has the McDonald household avail themselves of the chalet huts here at Mablethorpe?
We've never actually used chalet huts or anything.
Bring your own, presumably.
Yes, that's so. We always bring our own deck chairs, beach chairs, and those wind stoppers. I don't know what you call them.
But sounds very good anyway, wind really, stoppers.
Yes, wind there's a name, I can't think of it.
We are now at...
This is it. The Lookout Cafe. So we found it. Right, well, this is where we're going to take five then. We're going to get some nutritional sustenance here to help Eva through the awesome work that she's doing at Saltfleet. Mm-hmm. For which company, Eva?
Parkdean Resorts is the company.
Well, we've moved on from the fish and chip shop that actually was only a chip shop as opposed to a fish and chip shop. The clue was in the title, really, presumably because of the cod shortage that's actually around. And we've put in an order, and I will reveal that both Sue and Eva have gone for the full whammy of fish, chips and mushy peas. Mushy peas, something that you're particularly fond of, Eva?
No, I don't really eat mushy peas, but I had them... a few weeks ago, and I actually really liked them. So
you've been converted to mushy peas since starting summer holiday work in Saltfleet?
Well, sort of. I thought to be healthy, I'll put in some sort of vegetables, even though it's probably not the best.
But... Bit of a newsflash. Mushy peas are not, as you rightly say, they're probably the best in terms of consumable material. But I'm sure Sue will be well aware of that, and you went for the same.
I did, yeah. I got a real flavour for mushy peas. I adore mushy peas. I got a flavour for it when I used to work on the fairground at Fantasy Island. And one of the traditions was to have mushy peas and mint sauce. Apparently this is very a Nottinghamshire thing, and everybody who used to come and visit from Nottinghamshire used to have mushy peas and mint sauce. So I once tried it, and I was hooked, and I loved it.
The songs of our Victorian forefathers and mothers were very much, we do like to be beside the seaside, or we do like to be beside the sea. Do you think the beach holiday and the staycation and the opportunity to actually get some fresh air by the seaside is coming back into fashion, Eva?
I think so. I mean, you can't beat a British holiday. I think the seaside holiday has got to be done at least once in your lifetime. And this place does get quite a lot of tourists, so I think it is something that people enjoy. And I think it's popular.
And Sue, as somebody who's based pretty much in the heartland of the border country between Nottinghamshire and Lincolnshire, in that wonderful place called Gainsborough, or not too far away from Gainsborough, your thoughts?
Mablethorpe and Skegness are fortunate to be on the drier side of Britain. So, when we have the summers such as this year, we've been blessed. Yeah, but we've been blessed with the weather, and good weather and lovely beach and sea and sand is really all you need. It's the simple things in life that particularly children remember.
How's it looking? Buy yourself a car and a house to live in. Get yourself a